Good morning. Can you hear me? Can you hear me yet? Can you hear me now? Good morning, everybody. Glad to be here. I'm excited about what I want to share with you. God's been speaking to me about this, and can you turn that down just a little bit, brother? And I wanted to ask Pastor Paul Blasco, who was the pastor at Twin Orchards for 100 years? 150 years. And so I've asked him if he would read the opening scriptures for us. And I wonder if, just to honor the Word of God, if you would stand while he reads them.
Well, when Gary asked me to share in the service today, I could only conclude that this must be old-timer Sunday.
Where'd he go?
And you must feel right at home with me now, too.
Exactly.
I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, the letter that God inspired Peter to write to some people who were having some major difficulties. It was a very encouraging letter. Perhaps it will encourage you too. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and His Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed Him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love Him, even though you have never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your souls.
Amen.
This is the Word of God.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Well, if I hadn't spent so much time studying, I would just say, amen, go home. But you're not getting off that easy. So as Pastor Paul explained, Peter was writing to fellow Jews who were recent, fairly new believers in Christ. And his purpose was to explain to them more thoroughly some of the principles about faith in Christ, so that together with the other believers in the various provinces, they could know how to do life in the kingdom of God together. And how many of us have learned that learning how to do life in the kingdom of God doesn't come naturally? Amen? So as I've been thinking about this, I was wondering how many of us understood that when we made a profession of faith in Christ, that we were entering into a whole new way of life. A whole new way of living. With this new life that we received, which is new in every aspect, right? We were born again, new creatures. And that we are new creatures in Christ is neither theoretical, that is to say, it's not just a theory. It's not metaphysical, meaning so intellectual and abstract and intangible that we can't get our hands around it. And it is not metaphorical, meaning that it's mostly symbolic. You know, you've probably heard people say the Bible is just a book of good stories. That would be that it's symbolic. So no, in both truth and everyday reality, we are new creatures in Christ. Amen? So upon our profession of faith in Jesus, whether we understood it or not, as Andrew Murray once wrote, He, Christ, came to restore to us the life of God that we lost. A life in the will and the love of God. This alone is salvation. Amen? So by the grace of God, which none of us deserve, we were given new life in Christ. But not to live in the old way. When the Scripture says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, it means that no area of our lives is to be excluded. Nothing is to be sectioned off for self. So when God redeems a person, He redeems the entire person. Go ahead. Try saying to the Holy Spirit, that's far enough. I'll let you go there, but no more. You know, when you get married, you really don't marry somebody and expect him or her to give themselves mostly to the other, right? In a marriage like that, the part of that vow that says, until death do us part, may come sooner than you expect. So just kind of with that as background, let me tell you why I think it was that Peter began his letter the way that he did. He says this. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers or the foreigners or the pilgrims scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, we could read that and hear nothing more than a simple greeting as if Peter was saying, hi, it's me, I'm writing to you. But there's a lot more to it than that. The apostle addresses them as pilgrims sojourning in a strange place. The Christian Standard Bible translation says to the temporary residents of the dispersion. See, hello? Is it for me? Am I done? Have I gone too long? So Caesar has expelled all the Jews from Rome. And these new converts were living in places that they did not think of as home. The apostle opens his letter by reminding them that they are temporary residents, and I don't think it was their street addresses that he was talking about. With wisdom that can only come from the Holy Spirit, Peter begins his letter by addressing two basic things, key things that perhaps now more than ever before, professing Christians in America need to recognize, acknowledge, and take a firm grip on. These two things are our identity, that is, who as believers we are, pilgrims, sojourners, temporary residents, and our locality, meaning where we as believers are. To them, he said, you have been what? Scattered. So as things changed for those that Peter was writing to, things have now changed in many ways for us. Can you feel it? Anybody want to say, oh man? Not in church, right? You can't say that. More than ever, we are being brought to see that we are living in a post-Christian, godless culture and nature that is coming increasingly unfamiliar to us and in some ways hostile. You agree? It is now becoming impossible not to see how upside down the world is, what upside down looks like, and what it produces. And friends, if we can't see that, it's a strong indication that we are too strongly connected to it. I think of the scripture that says, come out from among them and be ye what? Separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Peter, it says, an apostle of Jesus Christ, is writing to pilgrims scattered. And I wonder if I added Vestal and Binghamton and Kirkwood and Conklin and Johnson City and some of the other towns and villages within, I'll say, 60 miles. If this starts to make more sense to you. So as followers of Christ, we are called to live by faith, aren't we? So since we are, we need to take a long and thoughtful look at who as believers we are and where as believers we are. These things are more important than you might think. Why? Because if faith is to be authentic, meaning it is an actual everyday activity, it has to be lived out. Faith must be lived out. And only by exercising the spiritual muscle of God-given faith will what is in our heads and in our hearts make it out to our hands and our feet. See, it's out there in an upside-down world serving the people in the places where we live now that faith, mine and yours, is to be lived out. There's no other time than right now to live by faith. And there's no other place than right here that we can do it. So I wonder just how much of the time that God has given to us is often squandered wishing that I was somewhere else. A wishing that I was somebody else. Do you think that when Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, don't you think that what he really meant was do it where you live? See, there is so much divine perspective added by what Peter wrote because of the persecution these believers were experiencing. I would think it must have encouraged them to hear how the apostle addressed them. He said, to the strangers scattered. Now, you might think that that is negative. Strangers scattered. It kind of sounds negative, doesn't it? Remember, things don't work the way you might think they do in the kingdom of God. I found myself wondering if when the Apostle Peter's letter was circulated among the churches, if at some point when it was being read, if somebody didn't lean over to a fellow listening believer and whisper, pilgrim, and sojourner. A temporary address. Living in an unfamiliar place. I never really thought of myself that way before. Have we? Do you? I wonder, too, if it hadn't sunk into them that this biblical and spiritual truth is the lens through which our lives as followers of Christ is to be viewed. Has it penetrated our flesh and become so deeply embedded in our hearts and minds that it transforms our perspective as well? Can you see that understanding this should give us fresh faith to believe that our Heavenly Father, right here, right now, is causing all things... What? Can't hear you. To work together for good to those who love God. Right here. Right now. What if tomorrow morning we woke up and decided to say, now remember, I'm talking to you about what God is talking to me about. Okay? What if tomorrow morning we woke up and decided to say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because of who I am in Christ, my Heavenly Father has me right where I'm supposed to be. What if, because of who we now are in Christ, God, and listen to this, by sovereignly allowing and using all we go through, all that life throws at us, if He had them, who Peter was writing to, and He has us now, by divine design, planted in the places He needs us, wouldn't that change how you look at your life? Shouldn't that change how you look at your life? Let me say it again. What if, because of who we are in Christ, God, by sovereignly allowing and using all we go through, all that life throws at us, if He had them and has every one of us here today, right where we're supposed to be. Is it possible that for His glory and our eternal place in the kingdom of God, in allowing and using everyday events and life's twists and turns in an upside down world, that since we are new creatures in Christ, people who belong to God and to whom God belongs, that God has us exactly where He wants us? Wouldn't it be a shame then to want to be someone else or be somewhere else? If you and I could come to understand and embrace that because of who we are and where we are, God is at work within us to both will and to do of His good pleasure, Philippians 2:13. That it would transform our thinking, revive us spiritually, and enable us to do good works right where we are today, bearing fruit that will remain. Is it unthinkable? Is it impossible that the God who set the stars in an atmosphere that at night look like diamonds randomly scattered across the black velvet heavens, but in reality He has placed them perfectly in a finely tuned universe, that He could not and did not also allow those Jewish believers to be in places that only seem to be like they had been randomly scattered like seeds tossed to the winds of fate, falling who knows where. Who knows where? God knows where. Perhaps that's why Peter opened his letter the way he did. He said to the strangers, those pilgrims, scattered through this dispersion. They were sent out to places they didn't want to go. They didn't want to be where they were. You ever been there? Someplace you don't want to be? You ever been someplace you don't want to be only to find out later it's exactly where you needed to be? Thousands of hands going across the auditorium, going up like... You'd have been so proud of me. I had like 8 pages of notes. You'd have been so proud of me. I cut it down to 5. Aren't you proud of me? Thank you, Nate and Jenny. It's impossible. Is it impossible? Did I just say that? Is it impossible that though these believers in Christ found themselves in unfamiliar surroundings, going through very, very, very hard times, times that were set in motion by godless leaders, hello, that they ended up exactly where God wanted them? Is that possible? What if where they were now was part of God's sovereign plan to cause all things, even this dispersion, to work together for good? Now, let me just stop here real quick and say, I think from personal experience that sometimes when we read that verse, we read God causes all things to work together for good. Often we think it's good right here, right now. But sometimes the good doesn't come till later. And my friends, sometimes the good, the best, you're not going to see until you get to glory. That's where you're going to run into good, like you've never seen good. That's the ultimate goal that God is working toward. Working together for good forever. I mean, if it's good, wouldn't it be good if it was good forever? I like that idea. That was free. That wasn't even in here. What about us seated here this morning, or you guys watching online? Is the God you believe in big enough to arrange and manage all of that? All the possibilities of where you are, who you are, and what you're going through. Is He big enough? Yes, He is. Is He or is He not able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above? That's exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can think or ask. Is He able or is He not? He is. Now, I can almost hear somebody thinking, you're crazy. That's crazy talk. It all sounds so upside down to me, but what if in the reality of the kingdom of God, this is the right way to see and process all that's going on around us? What if this is the way that we are called to live by faith? faith? What if, by living this way, our lives of faith are actually strengthened and sustained? Some of you will know when I get the verse started, Habakkuk 2:4, that says, "The just shall what? Live by his faith." Well, did you know, I don't know what your thinking is about the interpretation of that verse, but do you know that when he says, "The just shall live by faith," what he means is, you will have life. You'll be quickened. You'll be restored to life when you walk by faith. Now, brothers and sisters, it was during these hard times of head spinning, soul searching, heart aching changes that Peter wrote to them, and now we get the benefit of what he said to them. He says, "You rejoice in this, that now, though for a short time, you have to be distressed in various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes, though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." There are things you have to go through. You must. I don't want to. I don't like it. But we must. Our faith needs to be tried and tested. Not so that God knows what our faith is like, but so that we do. Amen? More and more, now more than ever during these days, who we are and where we are in our identity and locality today, you and I must be willing to learn to trust and obey. You're already singing the rest of that verse, aren't you? See, Romans 8:28 is not a metaphor. It is not a heartwarming prose printed on a sympathy card that you pull from the religious section of the greeting card display. It's a rock-solid, unshakable promise on which we can and are meant to take our stand. And when God says something, brother, you can take it to the bank. If He says it, it is true, regardless of what we think or feel, and even maybe especially when every speck of evidence around us screams otherwise. This is why, when amid awful pain and terrible suffering, Job could say, what? "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." It's why the author of the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," could write the words he did. How many of you know the story? Words like that don't come out of nowhere. The living out of our faith, that is to say, the acting on what we profess to believe, happens day by day, moment by moment. It can't happen any other way. And when it happens, my friends, it happens within the context of these two things: who we are and where we are. And when sudden and extreme free-for-alls knock our feet out from under us, or when long drawn-out battles suck the life out of us, when because of a radical seismic shift in the culture and the surroundings we have been most familiar with, we find ourselves to be someplace we never expected to be and do not want to be, which in many cases, that's what's happening right now. If you and I don't take a firm grip on who we are in Christ, right where we are in Christ, you can bet your faith is going to flounder. And these are the kinds of things that will contribute to what will happen in the last days when the Scripture warns us about a great falling away. One page and I'm done. Aren't you proud of me? Thanks, Jenny and Nate. See, it was based on the assurance that the Lord of hosts was in control, that Habakkuk could prophesy that the just shall live by faith. And he said that while being aware of some very difficult things. He said, if the fig tree doesn't blossom, if there be no fruit on the vine, if there's no paper towels on the shelf, when the labor of the olive shall fail and the fields yield no fruit, when the flocks be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stall, despite that, he said, yet will I what? Rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He will. When you feel like you can't keep your feet under you, and when you feel like everything is slipping, it says, He will make my feet like hind's feet. Sure-footed like a mountain goat. He will make me to walk upon my high places. Have we made that same determination? That by the grace of God, we will keep trusting God? If not, there's no better place than here. And there's no better time than now. The Scripture says, today, if you hear His voice, what? Do not harden your heart. So if we are going to trust God and live by faith, it will have to be done by believing, regardless of what goes on in the world around us, that we are in the hands of God. Especially in those times when we are more aware than ever that we too are pilgrims, temporary residents, sojourning in places that though they may be unfamiliar to us, they are not unfamiliar to our shepherd. Imagine how different each day would be if we would put into practice the message of the old hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So what do you say? Is it time to assess and repent and glorify God by daring to believe that each day, because of who we are and in the places we are, that God is at work within us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, causing all things, say all things, all, you know what the word all means? All. What are you going through right now that you kind of wish wasn't in that, that you're not sure is in that all clause? Is there anything you're going through right now that doesn't fall under the guidelines of all? Is there anything you're going through right now that you can't say, well, yeah, I know that's all, but I don't think God's got this covered? Can you believe that what you're going through right now, being in the place you don't want to be, that it might be exactly where God needs you? And that He knows you're there and He's there with you. Because you belong to Him. You're in Him. And not only do you belong to Him, He belongs to you. So it is this kind of renewed thinking that will transform our minds so that we can abide in Christ, be filled with the Spirit, and by the grace of God, help us to live right side up in an upside down world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Gary, for sharing with us this morning. Why don't we give God a hand for the message you gave Gary for us today? Let me just, why don't you guys stand with me and I'll pray as we close and you all are dismissed. Father, we love you. What a relief it is to know, what confidence and hope we can have in the fact that the God who placed every single star where it's supposed to be has placed us right where we're supposed to be. In every situation, every circumstance, every life experience, every relationship that we have, you've got us there for a reason, for a season, and you're going to walk us through it, and eventually we'll see that it turned out for good. What a great reminder today. So we thank you for this message you brought to Gary's heart. We thank you for the encouragement it's been to me to hear it, and I hope that it's been to the rest of the people here as well. God, we just ask that you'd encourage us throughout the rest of this day as we head home, throughout this week, as we meditate on these words and on this message, and we come back together next week. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks for coming. We hope to see you tonight for the worship night. Bye-bye.